Good evening. Tonight we will be reading out of Exodus 25. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the people of Israel that they take for me a contribution. From every man whose heart moves him, you shall receive the contribution for me. And this is the contribution that you shall receive from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen, goat hair, tanned ram skins, goat skins, acacia wood, oil for the lamps, spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and stones for setting, for the ephod and for the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell in their midst, exactly as I show you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle and all its furniture, so you shall make it. They shall make an ark of acacia wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be its length, 1.5 cubits its breadth, and 1.5 cubits its height. You shall overlay it with pure gold inside and outside, you shall overlay it, and you shall make on it a molding of gold around it. You shall cast 4 rings of gold for it and put them on its 4 feet, 2 rings on the one side of it and 2 rings on the other side of it. You shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them in gold. And you shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry the ark by them. The poles remain in the ark. The poles shall remain in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it. And you shall put into the ark the testimony that I shall give you. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its height and breadth. You shall make 2 cherubim of gold, of hammered work you shall make them, on the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub on the one end and 1 cherub on the other end. Of 1 piece with the mercy seat, you shall make the cherubim on its 2 ends. The cherubim shall spread out their wings above, overshadowing the mercy seat with their wings. Their faces one to another. Towards the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubim be. And you shall put the mercy seat on the top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I shall give you. There I will meet with you, and from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim that are on the ark of the testimony, I will speak with you about all that I will give you in commandment for the people of Israel. You shall make a table of acacia wood. 2 cubits shall be its length, 1 cubit its breadth, and 1.5 cubits its height. You shall overlay it with pure gold and make a molding of gold around it. You shall make a rim around it, 1 hand breadth wide, and a molding of gold around the rim. And you shall make for it 4 rings of gold, and fasten the rings to the 4 corners at its 4 legs. Close to the frame, the rings shall lie as holders for the poles to carry the table. You shall make the poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold, and the table shall be carried with these. And you shall make its plates and dishes for incense, and its flagons and bowls with which to pour drink offerings. You shall make them of pure gold. And you shall set the bread of the presence on the table before me regularly. You shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be made of hammered work, its base, its stem, its cups, its calyxes, and its flowers shall be of 1 piece with it. And there shall be 6 branches going out of its sides, 3 branches of the lampstand out of one side of it, and 3 branches on the lampstand out of the other side of it. 3 cups made like almond blossoms, each with calyx in flower on 1 branch, and 3 cups made with almond blossoms, which with calyx in flower on the other branch. So for the 6 branches going out of the lampstand. And on the lampstand itself there shall be four cups made like almond blossoms, with their calyxes and flowers, and a calyx of one piece with it under each pair of the six branches going out from the lampstand. Their calyxes and their branches shall be of one piece with it, the whole of it a single piece of hammered work of pure gold. You shall make the seven lamps for it, and the lamps shall be set up so as to give light on the space in front of it. Its tongs and their trays shall be of pure gold. It shall be made with all these utensils out of a talent of pure gold. And see that you make them after a pattern for them, which is being shown to you on the mountain.
Next chapter, make a few comments, and I think Brother Duane has an illustration for us. Continuing in chapter 26, this description of the temple will continue for several chapters, so we're only going to cover part of it tonight. Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen and blue and purple and scarlet yarns. You shall make them with cherubim skillfully worked into them. The length of each curtain shall be 28 cubits, and the breadth of each curtain 4 cubits. All the curtains shall be the same size. 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another, and the other 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another. And you shall make loops of blue on the edge of the outermost curtain in the first set. Likewise, you shall make loops on the edge of the outermost curtain in the second set. 50 loops you shall make on the one curtain, and 50 loops you shall make on the edge of the curtain that is in the second set. The loops shall be opposite one another. And you shall make 50 clasps of gold and couple the curtains, one to the other with the clasps, so that the tabernacle may be a single whole. You shall also make curtains of goat's hair for a tent over the tabernacle. 11 curtains shall you make. The length of each curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the breadth of each curtain 4 cubits. The 11 curtains shall be the same size. You shall couple 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves, and the 6th curtain you shall double over at the front of the tent. You shall make 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is outermost in one set, and 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is outermost in the second set. You shall make 50 clasps of bronze and put the clasps into the loops and couple the tent together so that it may be a single whole. And the part that remains of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remains, shall hang over the back of the tabernacle. And the extra that remains in the length of the curtains, the cubit on the one side and the cubit on the other side, shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle on this side and that side to cover it. And you shall make for the tent a covering of tanned ram skins and a covering of goat skins on top. You shall make upright frames for the tabernacle of acacia wood. 10 cubits shall be the length of a frame, and a cubit and a half the breadth of each frame. There shall be 2 tenons in each frame for fitting together. So shall you do for all the frames of the tabernacle. You shall make the frames for the tabernacle, 20 frames on the south side, and 40 bases of silver you shall make under the 20 frames, 2 bases under one frame for its 2 tenons, and 2 bases under the next frame for its 2 tenons. And for the second side of the tabernacle, on the north side, 20 frames, and their 40 bases of silver, 2 bases under one frame, and 2 bases under the next frame. And for the rear of the tabernacle westward, you shall make 6 frames, and you shall make 2 frames for the 4 corners of the tabernacle in the rear. They shall be separate beneath, but joined at the top at the first ring. Thus shall it be with both of them. They shall form the 2 corners. And there shall be 8 frames with their bases of silver, 16 bases, 2 bases under one frame and 2 bases under another frame. You shall make bars of acacia wood, 5 for the frames of the one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the frames of the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the frames of the side of the tabernacle at the rear westward. The middle bar, halfway up the frame, shall run from end to end. You shall overlay the frames with gold, and shall make their rings of gold for holders for the bars, and you shall overlay the bars with gold. Then you shall erect the tabernacle according to the plan for it that you were shown on the mountain. And you shall make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen. It shall be made with cherubim skillfully worked into it. And you shall hang it on 4 pillars of acacia overlaid with gold, with hooks of gold on four bases of silver. And you shall hang the veil from the clasps and bring the ark of the testimony in there within the veil. And the veil shall separate for you the holy place from the most holy. You shall put the mercy seat on the ark of the testimony in the most holy place. And you shall set the table outside the veil and the lampstand on the south side of the tabernacle opposite the table. And you shall put the table on the north side. You shall make a screen for the entrance of the tent of blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen, embroidered with needlework. And you shall make for the screen five pillars of acacia and overlay them with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold, and you shall cast five bases of bronze for them. For any commentary, we could go in a couple of directions, and I don't believe that we wish to take the time in our rather rapid tour of the Old Testament to spend the kind of time that this passage would support. But what I want to remind us of is some of the symbolic significance of this, and we'll just touch lightly on it and let it stand for now. The temple is a splendid place. I should call it the tabernacle, not the temple. Temple refers to the permanent building that was eventually erected in Jerusalem many generations after this. This is a portable building. The scripture here calls it a tabernacle, which is another word for tent. It is an elaborate tent, and it is very carefully specified. It's an interesting comparison to look at these two chapters that we've read tonight, the next couple of chapters, and compare that to the account of the creation. The account of the creation is just a few inches of text in the early portion of Genesis, and this just goes on and on with much detail. Much detail that is, I was thinking how much it would be lovely if we were to make a scale model of this and be able to demonstrate all of the details of this temple. But I suppose it would be a lifetime's work to build such a scale model. I know people have spent lifetimes building scale models of Herod's temple, and you can see those if you look for them online. You can see pictures of such models. It would take quite a lot of effort, even just to make a scale model of this, and it was an enormous tabernacle. It took dozens of men to carry it throughout the wilderness. The Levites were appointed specific roles in the carrying of this temple. You'll notice that it's most precious within, the holy place and the most holy place within that, and then the outer portion of the tent is most precious in its materials to the inside, and it gets less precious and more common as you move to the outside. That's a characteristic of the design of the tabernacle, which is, I believe, symbolic of the fact that holiness proceeds from the inside out. It's not the other way around. We don't become holy by making ourselves look holy. That's not how it works, and the scripture has much to say about that. Let's see, what else? I didn't make any notes. I'm trying to think of some of the other things. It would take some time to even read the scriptures that point to the tabernacle. You can find the tabernacle mentioned in the book of Revelation as appearing in heaven. The Ark of the Covenant, the Ark, by the way, if you've never seen a model of that, the Ark is a chest. We would call it a chest today. And it contained the law of God, and it was put in there for safekeeping. The prophets later would say that God would write his testimony, which is another word for the word of God, that he would write them on our hearts. And so our hearts are the spiritual home now, as the Ark of the Covenant was in the old days, in this passage that we're reading about here. It is the lodging place for the word of God. And then finally, the last point that I would make is in reference to James, the second chapter, that tells us that mercy triumphs over judgment. So in this chest, called the Ark of the Covenant, was the law of God. And when the chest was open, if you were in there, of course you couldn't enter the holy place unless you were the high priest. But if the chest was open, you could look in and see the law of God in there. But the law is not what was visible. What was visible was what's called the mercy seat with the overarching cherubim, and that represents what James, the second chapter, refers to as the triumph of mercy over judgment. The judgment of the law is hidden beneath a covering of mercy, which in the tradition of the scripture we call the mercy seat. It's really the lid of the chest, and it was beautifully figured with images of cherubim with their wings outstretched and touching one another. But that symbolizes for us that great principle of the scripture that mercy triumphs over judgment. And I think I'll stop there. I would encourage you, either in connection with tonight's study or as we continue to study over the next segment or two, I would encourage you to read the 8th and 9th chapters of the book of Hebrews and see how the tabernacle figures in the prophetic sense and how Jesus fulfills many of the figures that the tabernacle embodies.
That is a town that's about an hour south of Branson, Missouri. And I think Terry Darnell put us onto that. We went down and visited it, and it's worth going down. And you want to take the whole family back in that part of the country around Branson, I encourage you to do that. They have sought to try to replicate what God laid out in these books in Exodus, and it's pretty impressive. It's pretty large. These outer walls are fairly tall. They've got the vertical posts to hold them up, rings in the foundation of the gold, silver and the brass. And then they got the curtains where you can enter there into the outer court. And let me go back one. The very front, it says the letter 4. If anyone wants to move up or any of the young folks, that's your altar. And that's where the animals were slaughtered, and then they were burnt there. And then the laver where they have the water behind that. And then you have the tent of meeting. This is a structure. As it said, it was made out of acacia wood. I didn't come prepared, and it's been a little while since I heard the discord, but acacia wood is very unique. It's a very strong wood. It can span those kind of spans, hold up a multiple layer of the coverings to shield the sunlight and then give it some waterproofness. And you'll notice there's a big candle stand, and those particulars were given to the children of Israel or through Moses to the Israelites. And we're not going to go through all those components. We're going to read those in coming chapters, but what we haven't read tonight. I think it's just a little bit curious to even notice beyond the actual wall of material, you can see a dwelling, best they understood, that the Israelites used. It's kind of a big tent with tent poles and ropes. And the tent of meeting here with the outer and inner courts, it was somewhat self-sustaining. And when we went there to Eureka Springs, they had people dressed up in period clothes with the robes and everything, very versed in the different functions of the people doing the sacrifices and attending to the lampstands and the incense and everything. It's really worth a trip if you get a chance. Or if you want even a little more adventurous, I am told, I haven't been there, there is actually a 2-scale replica that you can walk through in someplace in Israel. And so it definitely was worth maybe seeing some of these someday. Now, the actual temple was to follow this when they were in one location there around Jerusalem. And they have a replica of the temple down in the Holy Land at Orlando. It's a replica of the tomb where Jesus was buried, just representing it as well. It has a lot of people in period costumes, and it's well done. I've enjoyed that. I think I've been down there twice. So I just thought to visualize some of this as we read through these chapters. And then towards the end of Exodus, I think I put myself on to lay down the scriptures and the comparison, just like Wayland said there in James. Each of these had a significance, whether it's the outer court, inner court, tent of meeting, the candle stand. And we can also think of a verse in Romans, I believe it's 12, to offer yourself as a living sacrifice. So there's precursors or events or pre-shadowing of the different components that God required of his people to serve him, whether it was in the wilderness or later in the promised land. One other note I just make here is it's very curious that a historian, if I can go the right way here maybe, a historian, archaeological person, theologian, Ray Vandalin, he gives tours of the Holy Lands too, but he goes down into Egypt. And they have actually found in the petroglyphs carved in some of the rocks a very similar floor plan to this. And I don't know that it's, he thinks it's significant that during the time the Israelites were in Egypt for the 400 plus years, they may have had exposures to some of the buildings such as this. But it may not have that greatest significance. We'll just kind of go through these other slides. So you're seeing the altar there and the labor with the water. You notice the long poles. I have no idea how many men it took to carry this. And, of course, they were to be Levites. And as we read on into Numbers, there was a non-Levite that Deer reached over and touched one of the items of the God has described here, and he was struck dead on the spot. And then, of course, later in new other account we have, when they were moving the Ark of the Covenant back and had it on a cart, a very similar thing happened later. So there's the, if I can get my arrows going right way. Nathan, I'm sure I'm doing something wrong. Yeah, there, maybe the down and up arrow seems to work best. So that's the big candle stand. That did give them the light in that outer court. And they have the showbread here down closer, and you can see the walls of that tent of meeting. And there is the Ark of the Covenant. And it has the presence of God, the cloud coming out of it there. Then you see that curtain, that number 11 there. It was a very, very thick curtain. And only the high priests were to go behind that. And this is something we're going to read some about and more about as we go along. The priestly garb for the Levites were very intricate. And the breastplate here has 12 stones for the 12 tribes of the Israelites. And each part there, and we will not spend time on that tonight, that it had a purpose. And I think it was Brother Wayland in a lesson many, many moons ago, probably a couple years ago, that the dye that was used on some of these purple and scarlet pieces of clothing and different, maybe some of the items there in the tabernacle, that it was a very rare thing, and it took quite a process to get that dye and to dye the materials. So the main reason that I show you those is it just gives you an idea that God was creating something very special to his people to keep their attention, to almost create a culture of focus towards God. And, of course, today it's a spiritual focus, our focus towards God. He's given us his word, good translations. This building is just four walls and a roof. It is the ecclesia, the gathering of the called out ones of his people. That is what makes up the congregation. And as I said later, we'll kind of go down a list. There's about seven or eight comparison or foreshadowing of what we will see after the cross.